God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This is Brother Hutchings inviting the listeners to another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. And here now is Brother Jerry.
Thanks, Brother Hutchings. Southwest Radio's Vice President, Dr. Kenneth Hill, is back to visit with Brother Hutchings about his new book, 40 Irrefutable Signs of the Last Generation. The book is divided into three sections, and when tomorrow's program is finished, they'll have touched on all of them. We'll be telling you how to get a copy later in the broadcast. Brother Hutchings, what are you and Dr. Hill going to do today?
Thank you, Brother Jerry. We are going to, today on the program, just review a few of the chapters in this book. Of course, we won't have time to review any one of them in much detail. Yes, we can let you know what is in this book and why this book we feel is important for our day. 40 Irrefutable Signs of the Last Generation. We spent considerable time to try to document everything we have presented in this book as a real biblical sign given of the last generation that would be on earth before the Lord comes back. We think this book will help inform many. I would encourage you to get a copy for your pastor. And also, yesterday, Brother Ken, we mentioned that this will make a good table talk book.
Indeed. It's a coffee table size book. It's one that's easy to read. It's 8.5 by 11 is the size of the paper, so it's a regular paper size. And it has just a huge number of illustrations, pictures, drawings, charts that help you understand what you're talking about. This is the kind of book that you could have in a doctor's office, an attorney's office, or in the waiting room of your chiropractor's office or whatever, where folks come and sit, and sometimes they have to wait for a few minutes, sometimes they wait for a lot longer, but they would have an opportunity to read this book because it's broken up into these small chapters. Most of the chapters are 3 to 5 pages, and it's easy to read through the chapters as you look at each one of the various signs. And some of them go into a little more detail. You might get up to all of 7 pages, but you can read them quickly as far as each chapter goes, and it gets your mind to thinking and gets you oriented toward that thought. So I would encourage folks to not only get them for their pastors or for their church library, but also to get them for their doctor or their other professional, maybe a CPA or somebody that they know that could use them in their waiting room. It gives a witness of Jesus Christ. It gives a witness of the truth of Scripture. It tells what's coming, and it would be very beneficial to them, those who would have the opportunity to read it. Noah, I had the advanced copy that you sent me and was very happy to have it, and in fact, I have it with me. But I was showing it to a pastor friend of mine yesterday, in fact, and he was telling me how much he appreciated it just from taking a short look, maybe 10 minutes at the book, and so he's going to get a copy of it for himself. But this is a kind of book that is foundational. It's not conjecture. It's based upon Scripture, and it's something that every Christian and every Christian library ought to have. It's 40 Irrefutable Signs of the Last Generation, and of course, by Noah W. Hutchings, and it's available through Southwest Radio Church, either by calling the 800 number, 1-800-652-1144, or you can go online and get it at swrc.com. Noah, we mentioned yesterday that there are 3 sections of the book. It's broken up into 3 sections. The largest one is about the signs in the secular world, and that's what we talked about yesterday. I'd like to pick up at sign number 23. Now, we've skipped over a lot, but I want to pick up there and talk about this one because it's so intriguing the way that you've written this thing up. It's called The Rise of the Antichrist, or The Rise of Antichrist. You know, I hear people who are not futurists, who don't believe in the rapture of the church, telling me that futurists, those of us who are premillennial, pre-tribulational in our understanding, that we're crazy because we see the Antichrist everywhere, and we've been naming him for years, and they go on and on and on. You have lived quite a number of years now, Noah, 87 and a half, and you've seen despots rise and despots fall. Do those who truly read the scriptures see an Antichrist behind every bush?
Well, certainly not. We're told that by John that many Antichrists would come first. Of course, Jesus mentioned the rise of Antichrist in the Olivet Discourse 3 times, where he mentioned all the other signs only once. So the rise of Antichrist in the world is one of the major signs that we certainly are living in the last days. So the real Antichrist is going to be preceded by many rulers who will be in type just as ruthless and bloodthirsty and tyrannical as he is going to be. And people don't realize that there have always been many pre-Antichrist types that have paraded before us. We could go to, for example, Joseph Stalin. He was a type of Antichrist, and all the people of Russia and the communist world worshipped him. I was in Russia after 1989, and you were with me, and we saw the conditions of the country and heard about the millions that were killed and put in prison, something like between 80 and 100 million. Certainly, he was a type of the coming Antichrist, because the Antichrist is going to kill more people than anyone has ever killed, any tyrant has ever killed in the world. And, of course, there was Adolf Hitler, rose up in Germany. Certainly, he was a remarkable type of the Antichrist. And then there were all others who preceded him, like Ivan IV of Russia, or Vlad II of Romania. And, of course, after that, there was Pol Pot of Cambodia, who killed half the people of Cambodia. We remember Mao Zedong. You know, I've been to China many times, and I never met anyone in China who didn't have someone killed in the Cultural Revolution. Mao, he closed all the churches and killed Christians and put them in prison. He's given credit for killing somewhere between 70 and 80 million. And all these are just types of the Antichrist that are coming. We might see types of Antichrist in the world right now, but Ken, we haven't seen anything yet when the Antichrist comes.
Well, that's very true, but what we're seeing, as you have so well put in the book, these 40 irrefutable signs of the last generation, in the chapter that you have on the rise of these antichrists, these are precursors to the one who will be the epitome of villainy. All of the prophetic will come together when this man is in power. Now, it is your position that the Antichrist will not appear on the scene until the church is taken out. Is that correct?
Well, that is our position. We don't say he's not on, he may be on the scene today, but he will not be revealed as Antichrist until he sits in the temple of God on Mount Moriah and claims to be God and demands that everyone in the world worship him as God. That's when he will be revealed. Now, he could be in the world right now. In fact, I think he probably is in the world right now. But we may not know him as Antichrist, but I think one day he will reveal himself as Antichrist. I think the time is ripe. And considering all these other signs evident today, I believe the Antichrist could be in the world right now.
Now, you mentioned in your book the Mark of the Beast. And, of course, a lot of people spend a lot of time conjecturing on the Mark of the Beast. You lived through a time early in your life when folks were concerned about the Mark of the Beast being passed out by the government. Tell me about that.
Oh, yes, that was by the Roosevelt administration. Mr. Roosevelt had his own programs. Many of them got introduced and were enforced. Of course, his social programs, which many thought he was going to turn the United States into another Russia, which he may have. But World War II came along, and that put an end to that. But one of the things that he came up with was the NRA sign, that everyone had to have an NRA sign on the door. And so they were going around putting signs on doors, and the church at that time rose up and said, hey, hey, this could be the mark of the beast. And so the church at that time was still awake, at least, and refused to have any part of it. And the government had to change the sign and take the signs off the door.
But now we have people talking about various kinds of implants and chips and bio-ID cards, and you see marks on people that are called tattoos or piercings. I mean, the world's changed since the time you were a youngster.
Yes, the world had to be prepared for the mark of the beast. And I think it's being prepared right now and has been being prepared ever since the computer codes come along. Everybody has a number now, and a Social Security number or some other number. Everything is numbered. And we have all these RFID things going around, not much bigger than a grain of salt, that they can put in a needle, or you can maybe even swallow them, take them in a milkshake or something. Numbering is more and more coming on, and now then people don't think anything about it. If they put a RFID chip in their passport, in their driver's license, I think we've come to a time now that we're told that if we just put a RFID chip in it with all the information in it, then if kids get lost or we go to a hospital and they need immediate records, it'll be there. So I think people now are willing to accept something that universally that will number them in a world government setup that we read about that is coming. We hear all this being proposed now. So I think the world had to be prepared for the mark of the beast, and I think it has been prepared right now, Ken.
Well, I think that the world, the secular world, and even the Christian world, is prepared more than we have ever seen it. And unfortunately, I'm afraid that the Christian church is asleep. And as you say, back in the days of the NRA, they weren't asleep, they were awake. And may it be that we waken again. We're talking with Noah Hutchings, who is president of Southwest Radio Church Ministries, and he's written his latest book, 40 Irrefutable Signs of the Last Generation, and that's what we're talking about. It's in several sections, in three sections. The first section is about the secular, irrefutable signs in the secular world. Let's talk about the second part that you've written, which is about irrefutable signs of the last days in Israel itself. Now, you've written a lot about Israel over the years, and in fact, you've visited Israel a number of times, haven't you?
Oh, yes, a few times. I've led 53 Bible tours to Israel. Dr. E.F. Weber, founder of this ministry, wrote a book, What the Christian Owes the Jews. Also, he wrote a book on Ezekiel 38 and 39. And he pointed to Israel as one of the refounding of Israel as a nation, as one of the most important signs that we were living in the last days. And Israel was declared to be a nation about 10 years before E.F. Weber was called home to be with the Lord. And we see all these things happening. And it's just amazing what has happened to Israel and how it coincides with what the Bible says would happen in Israel in the last generation, just before the Lord returned. You know, Jesus said the Jews will be scattered into all the world until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And that happened in 70 A.D. as prophesied. What were not killed or sold into slavery were scattered throughout the world. We read in Hosea chapter 3, for the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, without a prince, without a sacrifice, without an image, without an ephod. Afterward shall the children of Israel return, seek the Lord their God. So Israel was not to be scattered into the world forever, but until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And we read in Hosea 5, where the Lord speaks, I will go and return to my place till they, meaning Israel, acknowledge their offense. Now, what is their offense? They crucified their Messiah and seek my face. In their affliction, the word here is also given as tribulation in other scriptures. So in their tribulation, they will seek me early. Come and let us return to the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us, and the third day he will raise us up. So 1 day is with the Lord is 1,000 years. The diaspora, according to prophecy, was to last 2,000 years. It did. 2,000 years later, the Jews returned to the land. They were scattered for 2,000 years into the Gentile nation. And now they're back in the land. This is one of the surest signs that we're living in the last days.
Well, when we think about the signs in Israel, we have the dispersion, then we have the regathering. But there was a specific way in which they were to regather, wasn't there?
Yes, of course, Napoleon was going to go down there with an army and defeat the Muslims and make Israel a nation again where the Jews could return, but he ran into some problems at Acre and lost all his army. He had to go back to France, so it wasn't time. I know our forefathers, Jefferson and Adams, all thought about refounding Israel as a nation, but it wasn't time yet. But now it is time, and the Bible says they would not come back with a big army and conquer the land, that they would come back and buy up the land. And that is what happened. It says, Jeremiah said, when they come back, men would buy fields for money and subscribe evidence, sell them, and take witnesses in the land of Benjamin and in the land of Judea and in the valleys. And that's what they did. They come back, they bought back the land and began to resettle it and form the kibbutz system. And they came back exactly as the Bible prophesied they would.
Well, when they came back, they didn't find a friendly reception. In fact, as they came back right after World War II, it was a devastating time, wasn't it?
Oh, yes. The Bible prophesied that they would come back from these firsts that happened in the Middle East nations. I know when I was in Iraq, Hussein, I had hung 8 Jews on the streets of Baghdad with signs on them, Jews go home, and Turkey drove them out, and so did the other Muslim nations. 800,000 of them went back from the East first, and then said they'd come back from the West. That was after the Holocaust in Germany. They came back from the West. Then the North. They came back from Russia after 1989, and then the South. And then, I think it was in 1992, Ethiopia said, if you want these black Jews, come down and get them. And they brought 15,000 of them out over the weekend. So they came back in the exact order. And when they refounded the nation of Israel, General George Marshall warned David Ben-Gurion, if you declare Israel a nation, 5 Arab armies will march, and in 72 hours there won't be a Jew left alive in Israel. But he did, and President Truman, within 15 seconds, recognized Israel as a nation. 5 Arab armies marched against a ragtag Jewish army, but surprise to the world, the Jewish army won. And they became a nation in a day on May the 14th, 1948, and that was as the Bible prophesied exactly as it would happen. And this was another important prophecy that we were headed for the last generation.
Now, we're talking with Noah Hutchings. He's the author of 40 Irrefutable Signs of the Last Generation, brand new book, just out and available for you. Now, Noah, there's a difference between the return of the Jews and the rebirth of the State of Israel, isn't there? I mean, it's a different thing. The Jews came back, but then there had to be a nation. And you've talked about the settling of the State of Israel being born in a day in May of 1948. And so the rebirth of the State of Israel came about. Now, it has been a thorn in the side of the Arab world, as you mentioned, with the various kinds of efforts that they've had in war. And now, of course, it's intifada and it's all sorts of terrorism and that sort of thing. Instead of war, they don't face them head on. They go at them in different fashion. But a lot of other things happened when Israel was reborn. For example, you point out that the shekel had to be returned as the currency.
Well, certainly the shekel had to be returned as currency, and that was prophesied that when they came back, Jews would again use the shekel as money, and it also said the pure language would be returned to them when they came back. They came back from all these nations speaking all these dialects, and so they had to declare Hebrew again the official language. and you go to Israel today, all the Israelis are speaking a common language again. Even the Jews from Ethiopia that came back, they're speaking Hebrew. They have to learn Hebrew. So, and all the cities had to be renamed after their biblical names, which they were. They've been renamed after their biblical names, but there were three nations, three cities, that would not be rebuilt. And that was Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. Those were the three cities that Jesus pronounced a woe on and indicated that they would not be inhabited again. And you go to those cities today, they have not been rebuilt. So everything has happened in Israel according to the biblical schedule exactly at the time they were supposed to happen and in the manner they were supposed to happen. And we're told that this would be a sign to the world that when the nations see this, they are to know that God is doing this. I'm afraid the nations are not taking that literally today, Ken.
Indeed. And I want to encourage folks to get a copy of your book, 40 Irrefutable Signs of the Last Generation by Noah W. Hutchings. It's a fantastic book. It's got so much information. And it's something that every home needs, every church library needs, every doctor's office needs, so that folks can read about the goodness of God, the plans of God, and the truth of God's Word. Noah, in this section on Israel, you have so much depth in there in so few words. Thank you for writing that. That part has just thrilled my soul to see what God is doing with the state of Israel and the people of the Hebrews in these last days. Now, we've got part three to talk about, and I think we're going to have to wait until tomorrow to do that, but I want to be back here tomorrow to talk about that because we want to talk about the apostasies that are of the end of the age, and that's what you talk about in part three of your book.
Thank you, Ken, and here now is Brother Jerry to tell you how you can get a copy of this book. Number to call or the address to write.
Thank you, Brother Hutchings. That phone number is 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. You may also get the book through the Internet. The website is at swrc.com. 40 Irrefutable Signs of the Last Generation is a 216-page book printed on 8.5 by 11-inch pages. As Dr. Hill has said, you'll find the book to be easy to read, and there are graphics that add to the readability. Many have already contacted us about getting the book, but if you aren't among them, why not do that today? It sure looks like this is going to surpass the popularity of the other writings by Brother Hutchings, and that's saying something because many of them have been reprinted several times to meet the demand. Be sure you get 40 Irrefutable Signs of the Last Generation. Call, write, or go online today. You may also want the three programs in this series. If so, they're available on CD or tape for an offering of $17 in the U.S., $18 in Canada. To get the book, the programs, or both, phone 1-800-652-1144. The website address is swrc.com. This program is on this station by your tax-deductible contributions. Are you planning on coming to our Wake Up America conference early next month? If you haven't decided, let me encourage you to call for complete details. It's scheduled for Friday and Saturday, August 6th and 7th, and you can call 1-800-652-1144 for more details. Next up on many of these stations is A Bible in the News Report. Be here tomorrow for your Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. It's time for a Bible in the News report, a recent story from a biblical viewpoint. It's a feature of your Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. Reporting today is Southwest Radio's Vice President, Dr. Kenneth Hill.
The London Daily Mail online for June 10, 2010, featured an article by Rebecca English. She wrote about a speech given by the United Kingdom's Prince Charles. on the 9th of June when he spoke to the Islamic studies scholars at Oxford. The heir to the British throne certainly had nothing of importance to say to the sleepy-eyed so-called scholars. The professors appeared to be awake, but the scholars did not seem to be as alert. Wonder why? Prince Charles has a knack of putting most audiences to sleep. This time he was speaking of something that might have some significance. The possible future head of the Church of England, in his hour-long speech, argued that the destruction of the environment is contrary to every religion's scriptures, but particularly those of Islam. Or as the headline in the Mail's article put it, "Follow the Islamic way to save the world." Is he stark raving mad? Is he insane? Has he gone berserk? Has his royal lifestyle finally caused his mental breakdown? I'm reminded of the second psalm. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion."
You've just heard Southwest Radio Ministries Vice President Dr. Kenneth Hill with today's Bible in the News report, a presentation of this ministry, which is located in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Each month, we publish a Bible in the News magazine with stories from Brother Noah Hutchings, Dr. Larry Spargimino, Dr. Bob Glaze, and me. I'm Jerry Giltner. Each story that was presented in a particular month is included. The publication is available on a subscription basis for $35 annually to get all 12 issues. However, in order to allow you to sample the magazine before making a decision about getting it every month, we'll be happy to send you a complimentary copy. To get it, phone 1-800-652-1144. That telephone number again is 1-800-652-1144. If you prefer the mail, write to Southwest Radio Ministries, Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. Or you may visit our website, which is located at www.swrc.com. Contact us right away for your complimentary copy of the Bible in the News publication. And be here for the next Watchman on the Wall program, when once again we'll bring you a Bible in the News report, a service of Southwest Radio Ministries.